Our pharmacy team members are building strong relationships with their patients. This helps to build awareness and support medication adherence, but we're also using smart analytics and predictive modeling to power these personalized interventions that are driving adherence, really helping us to identify the patients who need us the most, and then triggering these interventions through the most appropriate channels and enabling personalized conversations.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show, where we believe that quality measurement leads to better outcomes. Let us become your go-to source for all things related to quality and medication use in healthcare. We will hit on trending health topics as they relate to performance measurements and find common ground for payers and practitioners. We will discuss how the Equip platform can help you with your performance goals, and we will also make sure to keep you up to date on pharmacy quality news. So buckle up and put your thinking cap on. The Quality Corner Show starts now.
Hello, Quality Corner Show listeners. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Nick Dorich, and on today's show, we are going to talk about what pharmacists are doing to improve patient care. At PQS, we are used to working with you, the pharmacist, and helping you to better understand and utilize data to improve patient care. One key aspect of patient care is quite simple, and it's the idea that was discussed with one of our previous guests, Dr. Vibhuti Arya, during a podcast a few months ago. That idea, quite simply, is a medication or a medication action plan will not work if the patient does not have access to receiving that medication and or their healthcare providers, including their local pharmacy and their local pharmacist. For this episode, our goal is to understand how pharmacists and the pharmacy teams can further their position as the local healthcare provider. Now, for today's guest, they are new to the Quality Corner Show, but she's let us know before that she's been a listener since episode one of the show. Let's go ahead and introduce Stacey Emmons, Director of Patient Outcomes Performance from Walgreens to the show.
Thanks, Nick. I'm really excited to be here. And you're right. I am a huge fan of podcasts, and the Quality Corner Show has been on my subscription list since episode one.
Well, Stacey, first, appreciate you listening since the beginning, and I can't wait to get to our questions with you for today's show. But before we talk about medication and access to healthcare services, we need to hear about you. Do you mind providing us a little bit of information about your background with healthcare and what you do in your role with Walgreens that supports patient care?
Of course. So I'm a pharmacist by training and have been so for over 15 years now. And my entire career has been spent in multiple positions within the community pharmacy setting. Throughout each of these different roles, I've always had a passion for how pharmacy is able to provide patient care and continue to be an advocate for continuing to expand the role of the profession of pharmacy. In my current role at Walgreens, I am the Director of Patient Outcomes Performance and Adherence, and through this role, have the honor of leading a fantastic team of pharmacy professionals, as well as having the opportunity to work cross-functionally with other teams to help create patient outcomes and adherence programs that are then deployed throughout all of Walgreens locations.
That's fantastic, Stacey. And thanks for the background. Love to hear your engagement with the team. I like how you referenced pharmacy professionals as well. Pharmacists are a big part of it, but there's a support team that goes to also work with those efforts. Now, before we hit today's questions, we're going to hear the breakdown.
Now it's time for the breakdown. As Quality Corner show host, Nick will ask three main topic questions. Our guests will have a chance to respond, and there will be some discussion to summarize the key points. This process will repeat for the second and third questions, which will wrap up the primary content for this recording. After that, expect to end on a closing summary, usually containing a bonus question. Now that we have described the process, let's jump into the questions.
Stacey, let's go ahead and start now for today's questions. And for question one, we have to start with the background and the why for today's topic. Medication access and access to pharmacist services may be limited in some communities, particularly low-income communities, and for those that may be impacted by other social determinants of health. Walgreens as a team has observed this as a healthcare delivery issue and has taken steps to help address it. How else would you describe this problem, and why is it important for the Walgreens team to address it with proactive solutions?
Yeah, sure. So as healthcare professionals, we in pharmacy are definitely in a key position to help improve health outcomes in underserved communities. And due to this, we're working to remove obstacles and improving access to healthcare for these patients in these communities. This is particularly important, we know, for access to medication and access to our pharmacy teams, as mentioned earlier. Our pharmacy team members are building strong relationships with their patients. This helps to build awareness and support medication adherence, but we're also using smart analytics and predictive modeling to power these personalized interventions that are driving adherence, really helping us to identify the patients who need us the most, and then triggering these interventions through the most appropriate channels and enabling personalized conversations. Really understanding, too, how your patients want to be contacted and by which channel, whether that's going to be telephonic, SMS, email, face-to-face, is important in making that connection to the patient and helping to get that conversation started. Beyond that, ensuring patients can get the medication they need is obviously critical, as you mentioned, and we've implemented several things over the last year to help support this. The last year's helped identify areas where we can lean in and support, and we continue to learn from those programs that we've implemented. At the height of the pandemic, we waived 1 to 2 day prescription delivery fees, and now we have same day delivery available in the majority of the country and improving access to that medication if patients are not able themselves to get out and get to the pharmacy to receive those prescriptions. During the equity movements last year, we did have some stores that were closed. And due to that, we proactively reached out to patients that were at risk of not getting their medications because of store closures. We wanted to ensure that these patients could continue to have access to their medication, whether it was going to be through delivery of that prescription, making sure they were able to get to another store to pick up their medications. But also, in addition to that, we were able to stand up mobile pharmacies in Chicago and Minneapolis to help and support access to care during their primary store closures. We also recognize that cost is a barrier for patients. So our pharmacy team members work with our patients to help determine if there's any patient assistance programs that they may be qualified for. And we also have a prescription savings club program, which can be used to help reduce the cost of medications. And thinking of vaccine access, you may have seen our partnership with Uber for COVID-19 vaccines. We didn't want transportation to be an issue or barrier to getting a vaccine, and therefore we worked with Uber to provide free rides in several areas of the country for those who need it. In addition to these specific programs and increasing access to medications, we're also working on a couple of pilot programs in underserved communities. We've been focusing on those one-to-one pharmacist and patient relationships and education of the patient. We really understand and value that our patients are looking to their pharmacist as a healthcare provider, and getting that relationship developed is going to help support the understanding and the trust that they develop in the pharmacy team. We've already seen some positive results in the pilots, and we are excited to continue to expand those into other communities.
That's great information, Stacy. And as you were going through responses, I'm taking my notes on the key details. One thing that I identified is that the approach from the Walgreens team has been considering both medication, pharmacist access for patients that are on therapies that are intended to be chronic, but also then for some more acute disease states, things like you had mentioned, vaccine access is obviously a great example. And would just like to have you, kind of confirm or provide any additional detail. But it sounds like the team is taking the approach that the medication access does need to be applicable for items that are more, point of care or one-time medication access, but also for chronic therapy. So again, would you like to confirm or add any additional details to that question?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. We're not only focused on chronic disease state management and making sure that the patients receive those medications, but again, that acute piece as well. So knowing that in those acute situations, there's timeliness around it and ensuring that the patients are able to get those prescriptions as quickly as possible to help resolve that acute need. Also thinking about our prescription abandonment program and working to continue to contact patients, again, in the appropriate channels, how they want to be contacted to ensure that they recognize when a prescription has been called in for them and that they're able to come pick up that prescription or even engaging if they're interested in delivery at that point. So continuing to keep the whole patient in mind, whether it be through the acute scenarios, including vaccinations or through chronic disease state management.
Great. Thanks for that additional information, Stacey. We'll move to question two. And since we've covered the background and the underlying problem around medication access or access to providers, I want to talk now about the Walgreens approach. And specifically, how did Walgreens approach this? You already explained some of the programs and what they're intended to do. And for Walgreens, I expect that with such a large footprint nationwide, that the organization may have taken some baby steps to start testing new solutions. What process was started and what did the organization learn along the way as it expanded the program and as it's expanded into new and different communities?
Yeah, definitely. You're spot on again. Walgreens does have a huge footprint. And with that, we do have to take it step by step in ensuring that we're testing, learning, getting the right experience to be able to continue to expand these new solutions. And the pandemic has actually accelerated that growth in what we had to do really quickly, thinking about COVID testing, as well as when immunizations came out. And then thinking further about how we're working to rebuild and reinvest in our stores and keeping that collaboration with our network of partners and suppliers, we're really looking to continue to provide that broader healthcare offering and address healthcare disparities in these underserved communities in the long term. So particularly thinking about those chronic conditions and other critical health challenges that are faced disproportionately by the underserved communities. So for example, I mentioned some pilot programs that we were doing, and more specifically, we've brought different health service offerings into the Chicago Chatham neighborhood, where, again, we're testing and learning to understand what is successful, what we need to pivot, where while we're focusing on the patients in these communities who do have a higher prevalence of some different acute and chronic disease states. So we have a diabetes program currently in that Chatham neighborhood. The pharmacists are prioritizing these high, what we consider high touch consultations for those living with diabetes and addressing barriers to taking their medications, or as well as further making recommendations on health screenings and immunizations. Really thinking of the disease state as a whole and how the pharmacist can develop that relationship and lean into support, removing any barriers that these patients may have or helping to support them in management of their disease state. So early results from this diabetes pilot and program are indicating that there is improved medication adherence for the patients who are receiving these high-touch consultations. So we're looking to continue to look at those results, pivot where needed again, and then evaluate where we can continue to expand this work. In addition to the diabetes work, we've also had our pharmacists partnering in asthma outreach. So specifically, this intervention is, or this partnership is through the pharmacist and a caregiver of a pediatric patient. So working with those parents, guardians, children with asthma is helping to provide education on the importance and proper use and technique of asthma medications and devices, ensuring those caregivers understand how the patient should be using that inhaler. So when they get home and the child having difficulties, ensuring that they feel confident in helping the patient to be able to use that inhaler properly. Also reviewing side effects that can be expected from the medication, asthma triggers. So identifying what triggers the asthma attacks in patients and helping the caregivers understand how that can be avoided, or helping them to understand what the action plan would be to help get through that. And then the pharmacists are also doing this and making sure that they're working in collaboration with the healthcare providers where needed. So all of those interventions are showing that just that personalized care from the pharmacist, having that relationship, being able to identify patients that are in need and that we can intervene on that will continue to improve their health outcomes. In addition to this, Walgreens has also created a vaccine equity task force for the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines and has done a considerable amount of education of patients, partnering with national and local organizations, as well as other companies to ensure that all communities have access to the COVID-19 vaccine.
Stacey, that's a lot of great information on the approach that Walgreens has taken. And I am curious about one aspect here and the outreach that you talked about for patients, particularly if I'm thinking if it's outreach for a child or someone who may have a caregiver, there may be other intricacies to this. Is the outreach, is this typically happening when the patient is picking up medications at the pharmacy and that conversation happens then? Or is this something that has to be scheduled for this sort of intervention? You know, again, scheduling, reaching out to the patient to schedule it or scheduling it when they come in to pick up those medications. Can you provide any additional context?
Yeah, absolutely. So specifically for the asthma program, that is actually identified and triggered at the point of sale. So the patient, the caregiver, you know, the caregiver may be there, the patient may not, depending on the time of day, again, pediatric patient. But when that prescription is being picked up, that's when the pharmacist would be notified that this patient has been identified as eligible for the service. So it's whether it's a new rescue inhaler, a controller inhaler, there's a model to determine the adherence to these medications. But however, this patient's been identified, it's going to notify the pharmacist at point of sale. They then engage with the patient, have these conversations. But in addition to that, they are then eligible for a post-consultation check-in. So a few days following, they would then be identified to have a telephonic outreach because they wouldn't necessarily be back in the store. But so that's more the scheduling approach to it, and identifying and letting the patient know or the caregiver know that we'd be following up with them is also part of this outreach. The diabetes program, again, could either be face-to-face or it could be telephonic outreach. Both of these programs are a full conversation, so we're not necessarily utilizing text or email for these programs, but rather having that relationship-building conversation.
That makes a lot of sense. It's essentially letting the patient know the service is available, but hey, let's have the conversation at the place and time that is most appropriate, most comfortable for you. And sometimes that can be scheduled later. I would have to imagine from a workflow standpoint that also works out a little bit better. I do have an additional question, Stacey, but it might actually be a better follow-up to our third question. So I'm going to transition us to our third question. And if you answered already, then great. If not, well, make sure to include it as my follow-up question. But for our third question, based on what Walgreens has learned, what comes next? And seeing that we are laser focused and that the Walgreens team is laser focused on improving patient care, did you find any particular reactions from the patients that were receiving the outreach and that were receiving these new services?
Yeah, great question. I think I mentioned before, but we definitely found that the pandemic gave us an opportunity to continue to demonstrate that pharmacists and pharmacy team members play a crucial role in expanding critical access in the U.S. healthcare system. So through this, that is where we started a lot of the work in Chicago, truly listening to the communities that we're in and encouraging our pharmacists to have these one-on-one conversations to see how we can continue to improve the health of these communities. For both diabetes and asthma programs in Chicago, we have seen an increase in on-time medication refill rates, which again translates to better medication adherence. In addition, within that diabetes program, we also saw an increase in on-time statin refill rates, which we know is important to the overall health of the patient with diabetes. In addition, we saw an increase in flu vaccinations. So not only looking at those specific medications being refilled, but also, you know, what are the halo effects that we're seeing in the patients and developing the trust to continue to guide them in their healthcare? Overall, our commitment is still to the well-being of the communities that we're in. And that means that we need to keep this infrastructure that we've started going. We are committed to continuing to build on these initiatives and partnerships that we've already begun. Definitely are looking forward to tackling more in the future. Again, continuing to test and learn and see what other communities we can move into, as well as what other services can be provided. For instance, the Uber partnership I mentioned before, that was about getting people to vaccination appointments. But we understand that lack of transportation to healthcare is a bigger issue beyond vaccines and a bigger barrier ahead that needs to be addressed. We have continued to expand with offsite and mobile clinics for vaccine access. And now it's just the time to continue building. We need to continue testing and learning. And then what has been done so far, I see as just the beginning and the future of where we will continue to go as we continue to prioritize the health of our communities and the specific patients that reside in the communities.
So, Stacey, my follow-up question here, it may be the obvious question and it may have an obvious answer, but I want to make sure we address it anyways. If your team is considering this just the beginning and it's expanding, I have to imagine then that the patient response and the patient experience for these services, that they've been positive and that they've been very welcoming for these pharmacist interventions. Is that what you're finding to be the case? Or just in just in general, what has that patient response been like?
Absolutely. And I think it's even beyond the patient response too, but also our team member response. So we have seen our team members definitely engaged in these activities and excited to share back what that patient response is. We also are getting information back from the caregivers of the pediatric asthma patients saying that they never knew some of the information that we provided and how unique it was for their pharmacy to be spending time with them so that they felt better prepared in managing their child who's having an asthma attack and how that can be, you know, an unnerving experience, can make the parent feel like they can't contribute to that patient, that kid, and how to help them resolve that attack, and have gotten great feedback there. In addition, I briefly mentioned the prescription abandonment program, but through that, we've seen notifying and making sure patients understand the digital resources that we have available. So refill reminders, notifications that a prescription has been ready, whether that be SMS, whether it be through IVR, so a telephonic call, or through email. We've seen an increase in the amount of utilization of those digital tools, and then therefore a decrease in the prescriptions that are being abandoned, so not sold. So have seen definite patient engagement around that. And so they're just thankful to understand all of the tools that are available and then are thankful to continue to develop these relationships with the pharmacist. We got a lot of feedback during the pandemic, especially when everything was pretty much telephonic, that it was great to be able to speak one-on-one with a pharmacist. A lot of people were, you know, unnerved and concerned, and having that ability to speak with a pharmacist, even if it was telephonic, we got a lot of great feedback around that and how they felt supported by their pharmacy teams.
Stacey, I'm glad I asked the question. I said it may be an obvious answer and when I asked it, but you led off the response, and I want to make sure we highlight this. You led off your response with noting that it was a good experience and that it was improving satisfaction, not just for the patients, but for the pharmacist and for the pharmacy team members, right? Most people in healthcare, including pharmacists, are going into this field to help patients. They want to have an impact in helping people live healthier lives. And so you noting that right from the beginning, I think really hits the mark on that. Not only can the pharmacist and pharmacy team members do the job, but it's also a higher satisfaction for those that are doing the job, and really highlights the opportunity there that we've talked in many circles and in many conversations, utilizing pharmacists more as a healthcare provider. Dispensing medications is always part of the job and will always be part of the job, but there are many other skill sets that pharmacists can put to good use. So thank you for highlighting that. And I'm glad to hear that the Walgreens team has seen that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Stacy, that now concludes our questions on today's topic, and I have to thank you for joining this discussion. At the Quality Corner Show, we love to hear from pharmacists and from pharmacy team members on the innovative steps being taken to improve patient care, and the Walgreens team and its approach to addressing patient health outcomes and how to remove barriers to medications or healthcare providers. It sounds like it's off to a great start, and as you mentioned, it's only the beginning, so I look forward to future updates from the team. Now, I know this is not the first time that you and the Walgreens team have spoken about this topic, as it's previously been presented at the PQA annual meeting, and you have also discussed it in other healthcare media outlets. Still, we appreciate you coming here and sharing with our audience, which does include payers, community pharmacists, and those in academia, so they can hear about a new approach to patient care. Stacy, this is now the part of the podcast that includes a little bit of a fun or unique question for our guest. While we've made the habit of asking our guests about their travel spots and unique pharmacies they've visited, I'd like to take a different approach for the question with you. Quality improvement, it is a continuous process and it involves both systems and individual improvements. In the last year, give or take, what new skill or training have you worked on or developed? This could be related to your professional work life. It could be a new skill such as painting, or it could be a new quality improvement system you've implemented at home with family and kids. What's new to your skill set or hobby, and how has it made an impact for you?
Yeah, you're right. Quality improvement is a continuous process. And this past year has been unique for everyone in our own ways. And I don't know that there's specifically one skill, but I think overall, when I think back to the past year, it has to be learning how to work with agility. So thinking about at home, whether it's supporting my three kids when their schools were shut down and supporting them in their schoolwork, then learning some new recipes. My son is a big fan of chicken and dumplings, so I have perfected that recipe, I think. And then just a couple of the home projects that we did, things that have allowed us to be a little bit more agile in how we're working. You know, we had time that we didn't have before. But I think that the biggest change in evidence of being able to work with agility is probably also through my professional career. So when I stepped into the role that I'm in today, that was right in the middle of quarantine. We had not been traveling for months. I accepted this position and had a completely remote transition into this role. And believe it or not, I've actually still yet to meet some of my team members face to face. But again, having the ability and having forced myself to learn the skill of pivoting and working with agility and adapting to remote ways of working has definitely improved. And I continue to be inspired by the progress that we've been able to make, the accomplishments that we've achieved, and ultimately the patients that we've been able to help through the continued engagement and dedication of my team. So all of this that we've talked about today, the vast majority has been done from a remote environment, and being able to work with agility has an adaption has definitely allowed that to come into fruition.
Stacy, I'll admit that that was a different kind of answer than I was expecting, but one that was very wholesome. And I agree with you completely. There's always different plot charts that I see about how people get work done or accomplished. And that work can be personal life, it can be professional. And, you know, for the folks that have a higher satisfaction generally with the work that they're doing, again, be it at work or at home, it really comes down to strong identification of the tasks that are important and necessary versus those that need to be done immediately, and having a higher correlation with doing the things that matter or that need to be done immediately versus some of those projects that need to be, that may be lower on the prioritization list. So that's a great call out. I also am glad to hear that you've developed and worked out some good recipes at home that have made the family happy. that is certainly a skill that's going to last for life, and that I know as well brings about good family memories. So all positive on that mark. Now, Stacy, thank you again, and we do appreciate you joining for today's episode of the Quality Corner Show. Before we close, if someone wants to ask you a question about what we discussed today, or about anything else related to quality, or maybe chicken and dumpling recipes, how can they contact you? And in addition, as it relates to what we talked about from the Walgreens perspective, where can people find out more information?
Yeah, well, thank you again for having me join today's episode. It's been so much fun. And again, listening since episode one, it's kind of surreal being on the podcast today. I am on LinkedIn, so anyone can reach out to me on LinkedIn. And then I am happy to continue conversations for those interested and continue to expand access for our patients through pharmacy. There's some information available, as you mentioned, around the PQA meeting. I believe PQA has posted some of that content, as well as on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, we have a lot of great media posts about the work that Walgreens is doing. And then through just Walgreens, Googling Walgreens, there's going to be a lot of content there available on the work that we've started and what we're continuing to do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Stacy, and for joining today's show, for providing the information. And that now does officially wrap up our content for today's episode. Now, for our audience, I'll note that before we jump into our next set of episodes, we're going to be pivoting back to covering several clinical topics for the next couple of months. This will start in August, which happens to be National Immunization Month. So be prepared for 4 to 5 weeks on topics that are specifically going to be related to immunizations, immunization updates, and how we can address vaccine hesitancy, or the phrase that I have more recently been adopting, improving vaccine confidence. We have a number of great guests lined up that are going to help us talk about immunizations, and I think they're all going to be new guests to the Quality Corner Show. So make sure to tune in. Now, for next time, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you have a question or topic, please let us know. If you would like to come on the show and talk about a topic or introduce a new guest, we would love that. You can DM us on Twitter at Pharmacy Quality or email us at info@pharmacyquality.com. With that, I appreciate you, the listening audience, for the Quality Corner Show. And there is one final message from the PQS team.
The Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show has a request for you. Our goal is to spread the word about how quality measurement can help improve health outcomes, and we need your help in sharing this podcast to friends and colleagues in the healthcare industry. We also want you to provide feedback, ask us questions, and suggest health topics you'd like to see covered. If you are a health expert and you want to contribute to the show or even talk on the show, please contact us. You can email info@pharmacyquality.com. Let us know what is on your mind, what we can address, so that you are fully informed. We want you to be able to provide the best care for your patients and members, and we wish all of you listeners out there well.